Would you take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll begin reading with verse 1 in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I hope that the messages I am bringing concerning our behavior in perilous times will be an encouragement to you and a great help to you to live the victorious Christian life. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Notice how he gives us all of these things dealing with corrupt behavior in these perilous times, the last days. And then we've come to a turning point here. "But thou hast fully known," and then he gives us these nine wonderful things that he has taken the time to impart to his son in the ministry, Timothy. And we've taken them one by one. Doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, and now we come to the subject of charity. Charity. Now, this is a word that we identify with the word love. As a matter of fact, I don't typically deal with this particular thing, but if you look at the words translated love and charity, so many times they're interchanged. And we're dealing here with the matter of charity or love. I'm going to use this word charity. There's some passages I referred to that have the word love. It is the highest form of this thing we understand to be love or charity. And Paul is saying here to Timothy, this is an absolute essential. He's saying the same thing the Lord Jesus said. If you'll hold your place here and turn with me to the last chapter in the Gospel according to John, we find this now famous encounter that Christ had with Peter after the Lord was resurrected from the dead. And no doubt this was a familiar thing to all the followers of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 21, there's a scene on the shore of the Galilee, a fire is going, a fire of coals, no doubt reminding Peter of the night in which he betrayed the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, it will begin with verse 12, Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine." And other disciples just asked him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Notice he uses Peter's name, not Peter, not Simon Peter, but Simon. And he used the highest word we could imagine here, this word, love, this devoted heart to God. Lovest thou me more than these? Qualifying it. Qualifying Peter's love. And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. The response that Peter gave is not the same word that Jesus put to Peter. Peter used a word meaning something much less, a weaker word, meaning more like affection. Yes, Lord, I have strong affection for you. It didn't come up to the level of the word that Christ used. He said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He used the same word here, this highest form. He said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Again, Peter used a weaker word in responding to Christ. As if I were saying to you, Do you love me with all of your heart? Do you love me in the highest, purest way? And Peter, a broken man, is saying to the Lord, I have great affection for you. And still in mercy, he says unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? This time, the Lord Jesus uses Peter's word. And Peter was grieved. If you and I had a better understanding of this conversation, which we will not delve into any more deeply, Christ put Peter's word back to Peter. And he said, So it's affection you have for me. Do you really, truly, even to this level, have affection for me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him, The third time lovest thou me. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. He's completely open to the Lord, brokenhearted, grieved. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. The point I want to make to you is, he's putting the great question to Peter. This question must be answered. It's impossible to serve the Lord without loving the Lord. It's impossible to do what God has given us to do if the Lord does not have His rightful place in our lives. Of all the things Christ could have put to Peter, this is the one essential thing that had to be settled. And when you and I return back to 2 Timothy, when Timothy was reading these words penned to him by the pen of the Apostle Paul and the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he came to this word charity, this devoted love, this highest form of love. No doubt, Paul meant for Timothy to understand the same thing that Christ meant for Peter to understand. It's impossible to serve the Lord without this charity. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. Let us deal with some simple things because the Bible is full of this subject. One of my favorite verses is found in Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back. That's one of the first Bible texts I preached from more than 40 years ago. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. I want us to look at the beginning of this charity. The beginning of this charity. Would you write that down? The beginning of it. And look with me in your Bibles, if you would please, what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I want you to mark that entire expression, would you please? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The same love, the same charity, the same devotion to God that Paul pins to Timothy is what we're finding here. Where do we find its beginning? It is not something we muster up. It's not something we decide to do. It is something that is divinely infused into us by the blessed Holy Ghost of God, enabling us, because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, enabling us to do what we could not do in our own power, our own strength, our own ability, and that is to love beyond anything a human being can do on his own. God gives us this. You did not have this kind of love before you met Jesus. You could not have this kind of love before you met Jesus. It begins with Jesus. And when Christ Jesus comes to live in you, comes to live in me, the Bible says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. In the book of Ephesians, when the Lord instructs us through the writing of the Apostle Paul to love our wives, even as Christ also loved the church, he's saying the same thing to us. He's saying that we have a new ability, a dynamic we never had before we knew the Lord. We have a capacity that is infused into us by the Holy Ghost. We have an ability to do what we could not do on our own. It's impossible to love our wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's an impossibility in our own strength, but not if Christ lives in us. That's the amazing thing. And we're so grateful to God for this. Do you have this Christ in you? Do you? Have you repented of your sin and by faith come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you been drawn by the blessed Spirit of God to the Son of God? Has God convicted you and arrested your soul and let you know you were lost and hell deserving? And you had no hope apart from the Lord Jesus? Have you come to know that salvation truly is of the Lord? You're not saved just because somebody spoke to you and you gave an answer back to a man. You're saved because someone spoke to you the Word of God, and God changed your life and gave you a new heart. You were born of God's Spirit. You were brought alive from the dead by the blessed Spirit of God. And the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. This is miraculous. It is supernatural. It is beyond what human beings can accomplish. And when Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Thou hast fully known my charity, my love," he was saying to Timothy, you have come to know the love of Christ that is in me. And that same love of Christ must be in you, shed abroad in our hearts to others. Why, all of us are selfish, self-serving, self-centered, little-minded people on our own. All of us. Until Jesus makes that difference in us. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Notice what our Lord said to His disciples. If you turn, please, to the Gospel according to John in the 15th chapter. In John chapter 15, the Bible says, beginning with verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater loveth no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I want you to notice, please, in verse 10, if you keep my commandments. Notice the word commandments. In verse 12, this is my commandment. And in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Now, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments here. He's talking about the love commandment. And we're dealing with the same subject. Where does this begin? Where does it begin? Turn to the little book of 1 John with me, would you please? In 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Did you get that? Where does it begin? We love him because he first loved us. It begins with God. It's infused into our hearts by the Spirit of God. As we're born of God's Spirit, it's shed abroad in our hearts. It is an impossibility to have this charity, this love, apart from the Lord. It begins with God, and the Lord imparts it in our hearts. I want you to write down the second thing, and that is the behavior of this love. How does this love behave? Well, let's make some note here, would you please? In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. It builds up. We can either be puffed up or built up. God says that this love or this charity builds up. That's the way it behaves. It's not puffed up. Notice, please, if you'll turn with me to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I want you to mark the behavior here. Let's just read this beautiful chapter together, if you'll follow along. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. We're talking about the behavior of this charity. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Let's stop there for a moment. Do you have that kind of love? Would you rather hear good news or bad news? Would you rather hear evil or truth? See, we tell them ourselves. He says, this love, this charity, wants to hear the truth. The Bible says, it thinketh no evil. It's not easily provoked. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Isn't that a beautiful behavior? Charity never faileth. Isn't that beautiful? But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Paul said, thou hast fully known my charity. That's wonderful, isn't it? The behavior of charity. The third thing I want you to write down is the beauty of charity. The beauty of it. Listen to the summary God gives in Galatians chapter 5. It's just like the Lord to pack so much in so few words. But listen. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Notice in chapter 2 of verse 6, Galatians, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? That's an expression you don't have marked in your Bible. So fulfill the law of Christ. Hold your place there and turn back to John chapter 15, because this is what the writer, Paul, has in mind when he writes these words, the law of Christ. In John chapter 15, he says in verse 10 again, if you keep my commandments. In verse 12 of John 15, he says, this is my commandment that you love one another. In verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. So the law of Christ, this is his command, this is his law. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments given to Moses by the Lord. He's talking about this law of love that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples. This is the same thing that Paul is pressing to the heart of Timothy, his son of the ministry. And you and I are not what we ought to be without obeying this law of Christ. Turn again with me, if you would, please, to the book of James. In James chapter 1 and verse 25, the Bible says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being a forgetful hearer, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice the law of liberty. That's the law of Christ. Strange, this expression, isn't it? The law that liberates. We think of the law confining us, but it's a law that liberates us. There's beauty in this. It liberates us. I shall explain in a moment. Look, please, in verse 8 of chapter 2 of James, if you fulfill the royal law. This is a beautiful law. It's a royal law according to the Scripture. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. This is beautiful. Look at the beauty of it in 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. This is his commandment. He that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Think of this, the beauty of this. How shall I illustrate it? Imagine Evelyn came to work for me as a young girl, and I a young man. Imagine she came to work for me. And I said, now listen, young lady, these are the rules. This is the time you come to work. This is the time you get off. These are the times you can take breaks. These are the days you have off for vacation. These are the paid holidays. This is the law. This is the way it is. If you want to be the right kind of employee and you work for me, this is what you'll do. You'll do as these rules regulate. This is the way it's supposed to be done. And these are the procedures we follow, and this is exactly what we expect. She takes the job. But imagine she's not working there long until I take special notice of her. I began to get a great interest in her. Before long, I let her know of my great interest in her, and Thank God she reciprocates and she lets me know of her interest in me. After a while, we decide it's not going to be employer and employee. It's going to be husband and wife. And she no longer is working for me. She is now married to me. Now, I want you to know, when she worked, those things were valid. They were the rules. They were to be followed. But now, she is not a servant or a worker. She's a wife. And a greater law, a more encompassing law, a more fulfilling law, a more beautiful law has taken over. It's the law of love. She doesn't have to be commanded to get up and fix breakfast and commanded to do what she ought to do. She's doing it because she loves doing it because she loves me. And the deeper, more far-reaching that love is, the more beautiful that relationship is. I want you to know the law condemns us. The law makes us aware of our sin. But the law cannot change our lives and change our hearts. And Paul said to Timothy, you must serve God with charity, with love. Where do you get it? You get it from God. When the Lord comes to live in you and infuses that love into your life, and it's shed abroad, it's made known to others, and you don't do what you do because you have to go to church and you have to keep the rules and you have to dress a certain way and you have to behave a certain way, have to answer a certain way. No! 1,000 times, no! You do what you do because you love Jesus. Because He first loved you. The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. It's taken hold on us. And we serve Him. We adore Him. We love Him. And we love others in His name. Because of mighty change He has made in our lives. Life is no more just a regiment and a routine. It is a beautiful, loving relationship with the lover of our soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know, this is why God's commandments are not grievous. This is why the Lord is not brutal to command us to love one another. Because He's taught us, we undeserving, hell-deserving sinners, He has taught us through His sacrifice. He has taught us, we who are unlovely, yet He loved us. He has taught us how to love. In example, yes. But more, He has empowered us by His Spirit to be capable of shedding that love abroad from our hearts to the heart of others. And I believe with all of my soul, the Lord stands before us just as He stood before Peter, and just as Paul in this sense was standing before his son Timothy and saying, are you ready to serve God? Are you ready to live for the Lord? The answer is no. Unless you have this love. Nothing else will substitute for it. My wife and I could have a relationship that's purely business. I could satisfactorily satisfy her demands and she mine. Be in my place, she in her place. Function as two individuals living under the same roof. Going through some sort of routine to make sure that we function to help one another through things in life. But if you leave love out of it, it's cold and lifeless. It becomes a tyranny, a struggle and something awful to have to try to live up to. But if there's love in it, the whole thing changes. And I don't know why some of you dear people don't ever get it. I don't know why you still think being a Christian and living the Christian life is something somebody standing over you with a hammer trying to make you do. Why in God's name don't you get it? That it is the law of love, the law of liberty, the royal law, that we love Him and we serve Him because we love Him. That God has changed our lives. He hasn't just given us answers. He's given us Himself to indwell in us and empower us by the ever-present Christ living in us to shed His love abroad to others. And no doubt when Timothy read the words of Paul and he came to that beautiful, deep, abiding word for the greatest of all loves, and that's the word it is, translated charity, he nodded his head in affirmation and said, "Yes, I have fully known His love. And I hope to my God that somebody on this earth can say of you and me that they have fully known the love of Christ in us." Let's bow in prayer, may we?